Alleluia.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs you are doing unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he? Jesus answered, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills. You can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Huge contrast in today's readings and today's feast day between one way of following the Lord and the way that the Lord wants. Begin with the reluctant disciple. If you read Pope Francis, the future Pope Francis's 2006 retreat to the Spanish bishops, I have never seen somebody go after Nicodemus as much as Cardinal Bergoglio did, and it opened me up to a different way. I had always just thought that here was a guy who was sort of politically trying to keep various things alive. Pope Francis is, listen, this guy coming because he was chicken at night. He knew, as we say right at the beginning, that Jesus was a teacher come from God, and he knew that he couldn't be doing any of the miracles that he was accomplishing unless God were with him. So he knew he was at least on a divine mission. But he wasn't willing to follow Jesus in the daylight. He came to him secretly at night. That's one of the only ways this passage makes sense. When he says that compliment, it seems, to Jesus, Jesus then immediately retorts, swearing an oath, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's such a non sequitur, unless you realize that Jesus, who sees the heart, was looking into Nicodemus's heart and saw what he was lacking. He was trying to approach it entirely on a human level, and he needed a rebirth. He wouldn't see the kingdom of God unless he opened himself up. Nicodemus didn't want to take that bait, though. Say, what are you talking about, Jesus? Help me to do what it takes in order to be born from above. No, instead, this incredibly intelligent man, a member of the Sanhedrin, very, very wealthy, he had Jesus' body anointed with 100 pounds of precious ointment after. Just think about the price tag on that. How can a man once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter the mother's womb and be born again, can he? Do you have any other stupid questions in your holster there? I mean, it's kind of obvious that you're not going to crawl into your mother's womb again. But there was something behind Jesus, and he's just trying to sort of keep it at his own natural level without being born again. So Jesus upped the ante. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one's born of water and the Spirit, he cannot. That's what it means to be born from above, born anew. To be born of water and the Spirit, we know that we're talking about the sacrament of baptism here. St. Paul would write, and we heard it at the Easter Vigil, that we who have been baptized into Christ's death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live newness of life. This is the new life of a Christian. might have a connection, an obituary to a life previous to baptism. But there's a real newness. There's a new wineskin capable of receiving new wine. And Christ wanted to give that to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was still trying to get the Lord's categories into his small little boxes. Jesus said, "Don't be amazed that I told you you must be born from above, for the wind blows where it wills." Talking about that Holy Spirit, you probably know that both in Hebrew and in Greek, it's the same word for breath or wind, and spirit, ruah in Hebrew and pneuma in Greek. Jesus is playing on words, but just as the wind blows where it wills, and you don't know where it's coming from, not even really the meteorologist, even though they're learning it a little bit better, where it's going to end up, so the Holy Spirit's able to move people in these ways. Jesus is basically saying, don't try to figure it all out like a scientist with your tiny little brain, Nicodemus. It's bigger than you. Just allow it to happen, just like those processes that are involved in human reproduction. This spiritual reproduction, which we're reborn in the Spirit, is even greater. We know what would happen with Nicodemus afterward. He would still try to follow Jesus by night, even when Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin on trumped-up charges, even when people were perjuring themselves to get him convicted and sentenced to death. Nicodemus could only ask questions. Questions. You know, shouldn't a man have a full trial first, rather than stick up and defend Jesus? And when they said, "Surely you're not one of this man's followers," that's where he clammed up. He was unwilling to follow Jesus in the light. Thanks be to God, afterward he would at least care for Jesus' body. It was better than nothing. He would sacrifice a lot in order to be able to do that, probably because of the pangs of conscience. But he wasn't willing to allow the Lord to give him the type of birth by which he would be able to really follow the Lord in the light. We see something totally different in today's gospel. We remember that the apostles, especially St. Peter, prior to Jesus' resurrection and prior to the rebirth that would be given through that resurrection, was a coward rather than a courageous expostulator of the Lord's truths. He was an apostate on Holy Thursday rather than an apostle, denying that he even knew the Lord. But the Lord worked an incredible miracle in him through the rebirth from above. And here we see him after he and John were castigated by the same Sanhedrin in which Nicodemus was a member, sternly warned never again to talk in the Lord's name, by the very people who had crucified the Master. When they heard it and told all the others about what had been commanded them, the whole church raised their voices to God with one accord. It's the longest prayer of the church we have recorded in the New Testament. They turned to God, the maker of heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them. They talked about Psalm 2, and how it had always been the case that those who were doing the Lord's work were going to suffer for it, that the kings of the earth and the princes would gather together against the Lord and against his anointed ones. And they were the little anointed ones. They were little Christ called Christians. Summarize what was happening there against Jesus the anointed and against all those who were with him. So what did they ask the Lord in that great prayer? Not show us an escape route, Lord, so that we can get out of their nefarious and homicidal clutches. Convert them, Lord, because they're going down the wrong path, and if they keep going down this wrong path, they're going to end our capacity to give witness to you. Nope. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with all boldness. You stretch forth your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They were begging God for the gift of parousia, which I mentioned on Saturday, that Holy Spirit-filled boldness, that expression of the Holy Spirit's gift of courage, They were begging for that. They were begging not to escape. They were begging for the courage to complete the mission, to be able to give that type of witness. That's the parousia that Nicodemus lacked. And we are told that as they prayed, the place where they were gathered shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. This is what we call the little Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down again in order to strengthen them for the task of the church. And that first time it blew open the windows in which they were in the upper room. This time, a different type of manifestation. He let them know that he was working by shaking their building. Someone who was moved by the Holy Spirit, who was born again, who preached the word of God with all boldness, is the saint we celebrate today, Pope St. Martin I, who reigned from 649 to 655. Early in his tenure, he had to combat that heresy, which is called monothelitism. Christ only had one will rather than two. And what that basically meant is he wasn't fully human, that a human body was attached to a divine soul, and it was that divine soul that alone had the will. It was so silly. I mean, you would never be able to make sense of Jesus' words in the agony of the garden, "Not my will, but yours be done," unless there was this real struggle going on as Jesus was trying to align his human will to his divine. But nevertheless, the emperor at the time had sided with the monothelitists, and he sent his troops from Constantinople to Rome to kidnap Pope St. Martin, brought him up to Constantinople. He was manhandled along the way. He's thrown into prison. He was exiled to the Crimea. And you know, all of this could have made him shut his trap, taught him a lesson, and taught the whole church a lesson with him. But the church continued to pray insistently for him. He was able to write and get letters smuggled back to Rome to keep the church strong. He continued to preach out all the more about the true Jesus Christ, the one who had risen from the dead, the one who had gotten his human will to do the will of the Father, and the one who was seeking to send the Holy Spirit to help us to align our will to the same divine plan. He eventually died there in exile, a martyr for our faith, a martyr out of witness to Christ, a martyr of prayer for the church's unity, even when he was in a position where he couldn't act. His example, like that of Peter and John, encourage us to be disciples of the Lord, not at night like Nicodemus, not reluctantly, but with great boldness, giving witness to the Lord, to the great gift of life, the great gift of the good news. And as we come here to pray this Mass in union with the entire church, let us ask for what the early church asked for. Take note, Lord, of their threats, and enable us to speak your word with all boldness, as you, with our own hands, stretch forth your own to heal. And signs and wonders are done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to shake us up, to give us this grace, because we are meant to be God's greatest signs and wonders of the dramatic metamorphosis that occurs when we're born from above. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.